It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This weekend's targeted shootings of state lawmakers in Minnesota has renewed concerns about political violence and security for elected officials. The alleged perpetrator had a long list of possible targets, including Senator Tammy Baldwin and 10 other Democratic elected officials in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin State Senate Sergeant at Arms announced additional security measures for the state capitol yesterday, and Attorney General Josh Call provided this statement, quote, "My thoughts are with those affected by the horrifying events that occurred in Minnesota. Political violence is an attack on our democracy, and it is imperative that we wholeheartedly condemn it in any form." He went on to say, "As information about this incident comes to light, we must evaluate what it means for security needs and whether any changes need to be made."
We're getting a reaction to those attacks and what they mean here in Wisconsin. Kieran Doyle is a researcher with the Wisconsin-based nonprofit, the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data, which tracks political violence in the U.S. and around the world. Kieran, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Mordecai Lee is professor emeritus at UW-Milwaukee and a former state legislator from Milwaukee. Mordecai, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for inviting me.
Mordecai, you followed, of course, Wisconsin politics for years. You represented Milwaukee in the state legislature in the 70s and 80s. Did you worry then about violence against politicians while you were serving, and what have you seen change over the years?
You know, it seems so long ago, but in the 70s, when I was in the assembly, there was a group called the Posse Comitatus, a very right-wing, militant, armed group. And believe it or not, they threatened to hang me. And I really didn't know what to do with it. I mean, I wasn't going to ask for security. So I just shrugged it off, although the sergeant at arms took it a little more seriously. But then in the 80s, when I was in the state Senate, one day I got a phone call from the FBI saying that on a wiretap, they picked up some threatening language against two people, and I was one of the two. And that the FBI told me they didn't think it was particularly serious, and they weren't encouraging me to take any particular steps. But I've got to tell you, it sure seemed vivid, and I'll confess that within a few weeks, we got a security system for our house just because of that threat.
And Mordecai, state lawmakers, other elected officials do sadly get death threats, and I think often maybe shrug them off, but that concern, what if, and as we saw in Minnesota, what if this one is the real deal? Is that something that you think nags at elected officials every day, maybe?
I really like your point, Rob, that just like police take any telephone threat of violence at a school or a bomb threat of violence at a school seriously, they never, ever say, that can't be true. There's a long shot that's going to happen. They always take it seriously. And so what I'm afraid is that that exact approach is now going to have to be taken by state legislators and by the people who are in charge of security. You can't take anything as, just an empty threat.
Now, Kieran, you research and you track political violence, your group around the world and here in the United States. When we look at data about violence against politicians in the U.S., what kind of things are you seeing?
Thankfully, it's the case that violence targeting political officials in the United States has remained rare in recent years. And while that's a good thing, it's also extremely troubling to still see it happening today. On the other hand, while violence against elected officials is quite rare, some data collected by a partner organization of ours, the Bridging Divides Initiative at Princeton University, speaks more to what you were discussing before, which is threats and targeted harassment against elected officials. Their data shows that we've seen more than 600 incidents of threats and harassment against local elected officials in 2024 alone, which was a 14% increase from the previous year. So that's definitely something that's a major factor in how people experience political violence in these elected positions. And it might have a chilling effect on many people's willingness to do the job, to take risks while doing the job. And it's definitely a major cause for concern in the political violence landscape in the United States.
Kieran, we worry sometimes about organized groups. Mordecai mentioned the Posse Comitatus from back in the day. But it seems like a lot of the attacks we think about, the ones this weekend in Minnesota, the congressional baseball attack in 2017 targeting Republican federal lawmakers, were by individuals motivated by ideological reasons, it appears, in this case in Minnesota, still waiting for details. How much do you distinguish between an organized group threatening or committing violence versus that one individual inspired by a political motivation?
That really gets to the heart of one of the major trends that we're concerned about in the United States, especially over the past couple of years. You're right that organized political violence involving extremist groups has been on the decline in the last 3 or 4 years in particular. This was a major concern that many people had ahead of the elections at the end of last year, that our data was showing that organized extremist violence was increasingly rare, and that remains the case till today. However, at the same time, as you've said, we've seen a rise in political violence carried out by individuals, not only the person involved in the shootings this weekend, but also, for example, the person who was President Trump's would-be assassin in Butler, Pennsylvania last year, as well as slightly more obscure incidents, like a man who blew up a fertility clinic in Palm Springs, California last month. So from this, we're seeing that the bar has really never been lower for individuals to carry out acts of political violence in the United States. And that's a major concern, not only because they may be ideologically motivated, as you've referenced, but also because in many of these cases, the ideologies that the individuals hold are quite difficult to understand, and they're not clear to law enforcement or to researchers even months after the fact. Or they may be political ideologies that are far outside the mainstream. Far outside the mainstream. For example, this man who committed the bombing in Palm Springs was related to natalist beliefs, which is not something that is discussed more widely. So that makes it very difficult to track where threats might be coming from for law enforcement, not just because individuals are more difficult to track than groups, but also because they have to have so many different possible types of ideologies on their radar that may motivate people to commit political violence. So that's a really difficult and concerning trend that we're tracking.
Mordecai, there's a sense, I think, in the country that we are hyper-polarized, more so than at any time, at least in recent American history. What do you think? Is there something to that? Do you worry, if so, that that contributes to the risk of violence?
Well, there's no doubt that there's an intensification. But I think when we talk about past examples, very few people remember the death threats that Senator Barack Obama got when he started running for president in 07 and then was a candidate in 08, that there was just a wall of threats of people saying, we will never permit a black man to be president, to live in the White House. And he had to get Secret Service protection way early. It was even before the Iowa caucuses. And I remember so many people telling me things like, I don't have to worry about voting for him because he's never going to be alive to make it to the White House. I've got to tell you, I heard a dozen people say that to me. And so that was very real, and that has not that has faded from memory.
Kieran, something you just mentioned, the idea that these targeted political attacks don't fall along sometimes predicted political lines. And sometimes when we see an attack, we want to, I think, categorize it as left against right or right against left or whatever. You mentioned it can be less known, less widely known, and talked about ideologies. Does it make it harder to, I guess, predict, anticipate, and maybe prevent political violence when it does happen?
I think there's certainly an element of that. I think it poses a challenge for law enforcement trying to track certain ideologies to predict where attacks might be coming from. But you're right also that despite the fact that many of the ideologies of the people who carry out individual acts of political violence are quite obscure, these acts of violence nonetheless have a polarizing effect on our national conversations around these acts of political violence. directly after, for example, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, many different political figures were discussing and assuming the ideology of the shooter in that incident, which is something that remains quite murky still to this day, and is even in places contradictory. So while it poses challenges for law enforcement, that doesn't necessarily make its way into the conversations that we have about these acts, and they can still therefore contribute to this perhaps bigger picture polarization in the country.
Mordecai, when we have a tragic attack, as we just had this weekend in Minnesota, what do you want to hear from political leaders across the political spectrum?
I want to hear, first of all, nonpartisanship. And I want to hear a sense of comity, that we're sort of all in this together, as opposed to, well, maybe those people are under threat, but my people aren't, or whatever that might be. And it has to be taken seriously. But I think what I'm fearing is even an overreaction. Let's say that every member of the Assembly and Senate were to be assigned a bodyguard. Now, what does that mean for, I don't know, in the summer, so many legislators would go to church picnics and church fairs and festivals and shake hands. Are they supposed to walk in cautiously, carefully, with a bodyguard clearing the way for them? This would undermine the sense we have in Wisconsin that our elected officials are just an arm's reach away and that they're our neighbors and our friends. Having a bodyguard changes the sense of the moment.
We'll leave it there. Mordecai, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Kieran, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a million.
We've been talking to Kieran Doyle, researcher with the Wisconsin-based Armed Conflict and Location and Event Data, and Mordecai Lee, professor emeritus at UW-Milwaukee, former state legislator, looking at political violence in Wisconsin and around the country after this weekend's targeted assassination in Minnesota.